So, as we're looking here at Matthew 18, the Bible says that the Son of Man, Jesus, is come to save that which was lost, and we're going to look specifically at, you know, who it is that is lost and what it means to be saved. This would be more of a topical reference, although, you know, we'll be focusing a lot of our time in the book of Romans, but it is more of a topical study today. But we're going to ask these questions. Saved from what? What does it mean for us to be saved? There are a few people here this morning who have helped with our special music and things, and I appreciate their being here. So, but for the most part, I'm going to try to minister to you folks at home and trust that we'll keep you focused this morning. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit." As we're looking at this concept of what we are saved from, the first thing that comes to mind is that we are saved from the punishment of sin. We know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that death is a separation from God. Because sin is the opposite of the holy, righteous God that we know, and because God cannot be tainted by our sin demands a payment. And that payment is to separate from God, and that separation, in order for us to pay it, would be for all eternity. The Bible declares that there is a place called hell that people without Jesus would go. But God does not desire for anyone to go there. He is not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. In fact, so much so, it's his opposite desire that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not be separated from God forever, but have everlasting life. And that is the wonderful news of the gospel. So as we consider, what are we saved from? The first and I guess the thing that would come to mind most often for people is the punishment of sin. That wage of sin is death, but in Christ there is now no condemnation. Listen to Romans chapter 6. That's in Romans 8:1. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." That's what salvation is all about. That's what God wants to offer to us. So as we're here in this situation that we find ourselves in, it brings up a lot of feelings for people. And there's a lot of concern, I'm sure, in hearts of people, maybe even some who are listening. There's a fear of the unknown and all of those things, but there is a God who, through all of this, loves us. And I know some people would say, well, wait a minute, if God loves us so much, then why does God allow these things to happen? Allow is a really important word here. What God is doing is giving an opportunity for people to stop and think about more than just what's happening today, but think about eternity. And that's what this is really doing. It's gotten everyone's attention and causing them to think in different ways. But that word allow is that there's this God in heaven who is so gracious and so slow to anger that he allows things to play out. And sin has its consequence, and one of those consequences is a separation from God. And that consequence begins to play itself out, and viruses and different things that come up, and God is gracious and willing to wait and give people an opportunity to respond to his great love. Secondly, as we consider what else are we saved from, not only are we saved from the punishment of sin, but we're saved from the guilt of sin. If you remember in the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, you remember that Christian was carrying a burden throughout this. Now, even before Christian became a Christian, so to speak, he is this burdened person, and he's carrying a weight, and every place he goes, he has to drag this weight around with him. And the wonderful part of the story is when he comes to Jesus and the weight is taken away, that guilt that is upon Christian during this whole time is that difficult time. So when God says that he saves us, he rescues us from the punishment of sin, but he also rescues us from the guilt of sin. Romans 3:19 says this, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." The idea is that once we understand where we are before God, then we recognize our desperate need of salvation. Once we recognize that we are the guilty party, that compared to a holy, righteous, sinless God, we stand guilty of being sinners, and that guilt carries weight. In James chapter 2, in verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So as sinners, we need to be punished. As sinners, there is a punishment upon us. Not that God has to bestow punishment. Sin has its own punishment. It separates us from God. It kills us. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But secondly, sin also carries this guilt, this weight that we must drag around with us, and we stand guilty before God, but God rescues us from that guilt. Also, we're going to have four things that God is wanting to save us from. Thirdly, God wants to save us from the power of sin. In Romans 8:21, it says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." We are under this bondage of corruption. Sin has a power over us. In Romans 6:14, it says this, "For sin shall no more have dominion over us." The reality is, as sinners, we are bound. As sinners, we have not only the weight of guilt, but we have this bondage that we cannot break free from. The Bible says it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us. Because our works can do nothing. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as we're considering this bondage of sin, we have no way out of this. We can't get ourselves out from under this bondage. We need for God to do something to free us from this bondage of sin. But there is a God in heaven who loves you so much that he's willing to do this for you. The curse of sin in Romans chapter 8. Listen to what it says. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together even until now." That's where we are under this curse. So we have this bondage, this curse, this guilt, this power of sin that is being dealt with. But the Bible declares that God loved us so much that he gave Jesus, his only son, to free us from all of those things. So that sin no more has dominion. So that the guilt of sin is lifted. So that the punishment of sin is taken away. So that the power of sin no longer is upon us. We have this opportunity through Jesus Christ, which is wonderful to consider this. So as we get to the second part of this verse, our key verse here in Matthew 18, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." So there's the second part of the question. Who's lost? When God says this, that the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, who is he speaking of? And it's important to see how God says this. He has come to save that which was lost, meaning all-inclusive, everyone that was lost. Well, here's what the Bible says about being lost. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is no one that is not impacted by sin. Therefore, there is no one who, without Christ, does not fit that definition of lost. It doesn't matter if we're a churchgoer. It doesn't matter if we are good people. It doesn't matter if we have other religions. Everyone falls under this category. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When the Bible says that God wants to save that which is lost, he is talking about everyone. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, in referencing again all of mankind, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," being Jesus, "the iniquity," the sin, "of all of us who are lost." The opportunity to get saved is for everyone, for all people, because all are lost, and he has come to save that which was lost. So then the question comes this. Once I recognize that I'm a sinner, and once I see that I have need of salvation, how do I go from being this sinner in need of salvation to then being this one who can apply this wonderful gift of salvation that God gives me through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So the reality is, I'm lost until such point that I understand that I am the one lost and that I am the one that needs to be saved. And I come personally, myself, to Jesus to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can't be born a Christian. I must be born again as a Christian. I can't do something good. I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I must believe what God says. God's promised that he's going to save anyone who will come to him and believe on him. And so that's what God is talking about here. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So I come to know Jesus as my Savior, and then I'm going to answer this last question. How long am I saved for? Well, here's what the Bible says. It says, until the day of redemption. This is an important aspect, and it's something that sometimes as Baptists we get criticized for believing this truth in the Scripture. But we believe in what is known as eternal security. That just as truly as I cannot save myself, I needed Jesus Christ to come and die for my sin to save me. The reality is I cannot keep myself. I can't do good things in order to make sure that I stay saved. He had to do the work to begin with to save me. And he has to do the work to keep me saved. And the Bible says that I am sealed unto that day of redemption. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, who are kept, now listen to what it says, not by their own power, but who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be delivered, to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by the power of God. We're saved by the power of God. It's only the power of God that can break that bondage of sin, can break the curse of sin, that can give me the ability to have salvation in my life that can save me. But not only then does he save me, but he keeps me. And Jude 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a great message this is, that God not only does the saving, but then God does the keeping. And all we need to do is trust him to be the God that he says that he is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it's a wonderful promise that God makes. Then in Romans chapter 8, we get to this, saved until when? So we understand that we're lost and we understand what God has done to save us. We understand how we come to Christ by believing on him. But now we have this wonderful thing of resting in the job that he has done. Listen to Romans chapter 8, and let me finish this out this way. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Once we are in Christ Jesus, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, Pastor John, how do I get in Christ Jesus? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're out there listening this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me remind you that we are a people in need of salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, we have punishment and guilt and power and the curse resting over us. We know that. We see that. But that God has come, sent his son Jesus Christ to seek and to save that which was lost. And so as we come to Jesus Christ and we trust him and accept his gift of salvation, then he then does a work that lasts throughout this life and throughout all eternity so that one day we will stand before God just as if I'd never sinned, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. So let me ask you a question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Not based on the fact that you've done good things, because it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us. Not because your parents are good people, or not because you go to a Baptist church. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Have you done that? And if so, would you be willing then to rest in his promise? Listen to what it says again. We are sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4. In 1 Peter, we are kept by the power of God. In Jude, he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. In Romans 8, verses 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's a difficult time we're going through not only as a state and a city and a nation, but around the globe. This is an unusual time. God has given us a unique opportunity to consider him and the gospel and the salvation that he offers. And he offers it to everyone freely. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you're here with us this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a God in heaven who loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world, live a perfect sinless life, and to die in your place and in my place, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you place your faith, your confidence, your trust in Jesus Christ today as your Savior? There's a God who's waiting for you to do that. He wants you to do that so desperately. If you're here and with us this morning and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then let us be reminded of the wonderful message of the gospel that we have. Why ought we be ashamed of a God who loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son for it? We have a wonderful message to share. And in this time in which people might be afraid and concerned, and in which eternity is becoming clearly in sight for many people, we have a unique opportunity to share the gospel with those around us. Whether it's by phone or online, or maybe a good opportunity to connect with your neighbors in ways that you've never done so yet, by helping them out. Maybe you could take them some toilet paper or something that they're having trouble finding out there in the stores and use that as an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. What a wonderful thing it would be. God loves this world so much that he has, at this particular moment, gotten the attention of the entire planet at one moment. You and I need to take advantage of that moment and talk to someone about Jesus. If you would like for us to pray with you, or if you would like for us to talk with you, you can call our church line for 1-317-889-6088. And you may have to leave a message, but someone will get back with you, and we would be more than honored and happy to talk to you and to pray with you. You can go on our church website, sbtindy.org, and through that you can email myself or Pastor Andrew or the church office, and leave prayer requests and messages, and we would be happy to follow up with those. If this morning you've recognized that you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to place your faith, your confidence, your trust in what Jesus did in order to purchase, to secure our salvation, would you do that this morning? Would you please then trust Christ as your Savior? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And right where you are, in your living room, in your car, listening on a phone or something, wherever you might happen to be, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. You can place your confidence, your faith in his death on the cross as the payment for your sin. And we would love it if you would share that with us. We would be so honored to be able to help you to grow in your newfound faith, and what a blessing it would be. Maybe, Christian, it would be a time for you and I to reflect on how we might utilize this unique time that God has given to us, where hearts are tender and people are concerned, to share the gospel with those who we might come in contact with, or those who we can contact via Facebook or Instagram or something along those lines, and we can make a contact with someone about the gospel. And it'd be a good thing for us to use this time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a closing of the service that I usually do, and we're going to pray, and then I'll close the service. But my closing is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to add something to it as we get to this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to be with each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for these people who love you and have taken time out from this unusual time we find ourselves in to listen to your word. And God, I pray that it would be a blessing, that it would be a challenge. That, Lord, we would utilize this time wisely to share the gospel and talk to others about Jesus, as you've done such a wonderful job in preparing people's hearts to listen. God, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is listening, I pray that today they would recognize how desperately you love their soul and desire to give them eternal life, and that today they might trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, give us wisdom in utilizing this time to encourage and uplift one another. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.